Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello there, everybody. This is Mike Gary filling in for Ron Safe this week because Ron is on a well-deserved vacation. Hope you and your family are having a great time. Ron, we miss you, but we're holding the fort down here. His return is imminent. And so this week on We'll See About That, we're going to play one of my favorite episodes we have done. We're going to return to our interview with former Los Angeles Sheriff's Detective Gil Carrillo, famous from the Netflix series and beyond for his participation in an involvement in the Night Stalker case, a case that I'm sure not only everybody here in California remembers, but around the country. So we're going to get to that later on in the show. But I just wanted to briefly talk about a couple things that are happening right now. Kevin Brown, of the announcer of the Baltimore Orioles, was suspended for some pretty, I would say, innocuous comments regarding the team's performance this season. Of course, the Orioles are on a hot streak right now, and he just pretty much mentioned that day, we were having a hard time winning in Tampa Bay, and that seems to be on the mend. And he was suspended by the team for that, which drew a lot of ire and outrage from a lot of other announcers and fans around the country. And the Baltimore Orioles front management, covered in shame, reversed themselves and will bring back Mr. Brown to the booth. I think that is the best decision for everybody involved. And hopefully the Orioles, as well as other teams around the league, got the message here, learned their lesson that, of course, you know, these announcers are employed by the team, but they need to have some sort of integrity and some sort of independence that they can give the fans of the team the information that they need. And I think that's important. And I think that teams are well served by having, of course, you know, you want your home announcers to be fans of the team, but also they need to be a little bit objective and also feel safe. And whatever commentary they levy won't be sanctioned by upper management. That's just one man's take. Right now, I want to talk just very briefly about one of my favorite sports, Formula One racing. We are in summer break, but the next race will be the Belgian Grand Prix, the Heineken Grand Prix, and Max Verstappen has won 8 races in a row. He's pretty much got the Drivers' Championship and the Constructors' Championship locked up. But if you've never watched Formula One racing, I really, really recommend you watch it. It's usually on around 6 a.m. on Sundays. I believe the next race is going to be August 28th, 6 a.m. on ESPN. It is just an amazing spectacle to watch, one of the great events in all of sports. And make sure to check out F1 Drive to Survive on Netflix, a fantastic series that really got me into F1 and a lot of other people I know. So stick around, you guys. We're going to revisit one of our favorite interviews that Ron and I did with former Sheriff's Homicide Detective Gil Carrillo. Stay with us.
Fred Dreyer here. When you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. And every disease known to man can attack you. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body to bring your immune system back online. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Ristorante and Bar while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. AllegrettoResort.com.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in this same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at bfffinancial.com.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we're back with another segment of We'll See About That. And we have a very, very special guest, a man that was the lead detective on The Night Stalker, the show that has been on Netflix for a bit now. And Gil had a 17-year career. At the age of 17, entered the Army and spent 1 year of combat, holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Cal State Northridge, was a member of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for 38 years, and has lectured because of his investigation with the Night Stalker. Gil, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure you have an incredible story to tell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here. Just wish I had a ticket to Saudi Arabia right now to go to soccer.
Well, you're Latino. You probably played some soccer when you were growing up. I mean, left foot, right foot.
Soccer wasn't that big, and I was much too lazy when I was a kid.
For sure. You've had probably an experience of a lifetime, I will refer to it as an opportunity, but more so probably as an obligation have a case of this magnitude hit you squarely in the face. And was there any kind of training that you had in the beginning that could have prepared you for what you're going to experience?
The one training, and I give all the credit not only to my working colleagues and citizens out there that helped, but I had a professor at Cal State LA by the name of Dr. Robert Morneau. I took two semesters of advanced criminal investigation pertaining to sex crimes, and I learned an awful lot of that. And after the case was over, I got to go back and thank him because he gave me the knowledge to work the case, really. I saw things that other people didn't, and I can hear them today. Any reasonable and prudent sex crimes investigator would notice these things, and I was able to see things that others didn't.
And you also got a lot of backlash from your coworkers too at that point in time. You're new on the force. You got no real experience. They thought you were kind of in it to promote yourself. That must have been difficult.
Well, that was probably the most difficult part of it all, them not having the faith when it's a real brotherhood and everybody has your back. Everybody takes care of each other up there. That wasn't there. There just wasn't the support. However, having said that, I understand, and I understood why there wasn't a support, because the things that I was alleging had never been documented in criminal history. And that came right from behavioral science at the FBI. Nobody has ever done, had ever done, what I was alleging Richard was doing. And once he was arrested, nobody's ever done it since.
Yeah.
And that's because the public really doesn't know everything he was doing, because we kept a lot of it out of the public.
Well, that became a problem for you too, didn't it? I mean, there was a lot of media exposure. Information was leaked. Things that you, even your names appeared. Can you imagine what this circus would have looked like in today's social media?
Oh, I just can't. I can't imagine. Everything's done on social media today, and I'm just glad we didn't have it then. And there's even social media going around now saying that everything that I did way back then was a lie. It was a circus, and Richard's innocent.
Let's back up just for a second, Gil. I want to talk, once, first of all, you're a member of the 189th Assault Helicopter Company in country in Vietnam. My father was actually a member of the 191st Assault Helicopter Company in Can Tho. And so thank you for your service. And then you came back here and you were in patrol. What was it like going from patrol, being picked out of the choir, and then going to homicide? What was that like?
Oh, it was a dream come true. When I was a young patrol deputy, I started working gangs because of my upbringing. And East L.A. at that time was the gang capital of the world. And because of all the work I was doing in gangs, homicide was starting a gang crew up to work strictly homicide, gang-related homicides. It was my dream to be a homicide investigator, because when I was a young patrol deputy, these guys were creme de la creme. They were. It was just a world of their own. You know, the first murder I got with a trainee was a 3 o'clock murder, and the guys from homicide got there. They took total control. I left at 11 o'clock. When I come back 3 o'clock the next day to go back out on patrol, these guys are still there, same suits, still working, and they solved what I would have thought would have been an unsolvable murder. They solved it, they prosecuted it, and they had total control of everything. They became their own bosses. And I just said, man, when I grow up, that's what I want to be. And I was fortunate enough, because of my gang work, they called me up in short time. It normally takes, even today, minimally 15 years to get up to Sheriff's Homicide Bureau, and I was there 9 and a half.
Well, you got to team up with a very special guy, Frank Salerno. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Frank.
Well, I was doing backflips when Frank asked me if I would consider being his partner. He could have had the pick of the litter. He could have had anybody in homicide he wanted. He was considered the big Goomba. He was the Italian stallion. He was the man. So professional, so good, did everything sharp. And yet he asked me, and I was excited about working with him. We worked together. I learned from him, learned so much. I wish I could have picked up his organizational habits, because he's organized and I'm still not organized. Aside from that, I was a little better talker. He'd always add, when he was out of town, he'd come back. If I picked up a case without him, he'd say, well, did you use your stuff? Yes, I did. And we're able to get some nice video confessions.
Well, it seems like he gave you a lot of flexibility. He let you be your person. And I've always felt that that's very important. You've got to be comfortable being able to express your opinions and thoughts about this thing. And it seems like you had an open door.
Well, he did. He was very open about everything. And I listened. I'm a listener. When he had something to say, whether he meant it directly at me, just in talking and conversation with other detectives, I'm a listener. So I tried to pick up, I was a sponge. I wanted to pick up as much as I could, because I wanted to be half as good as he was when I had as much time.
When you first got this case, how did it come about?
Just regular rotation. Back then we used something that is antiquated. We had beepers. And I got, at that time I got phoned at my home. I was on call. I had the on call. They called me up 10:30 at night and told me to go to 8510 Village Lane in the city of Rosemead. and for a homicide. I went out there and started working the first case, and it was small world. One victim was had just arrived home, was opening the door when she's confronted by the Night Stalker. He shot her. He thought she had gone down dead. He shot her right in the face, so we thought. Just as he pulled the trigger, the light in the garage went dark. He pulled the trigger. The bullet landed in her hand. She had a set of keys in her hand. The bullet never exited her hand. She went down. She had already unlocked the door to go into the condo, and he went inside, killed her roommate. And then as he exited the condo via the front door instead of the garage, Maria Hernandez had already stood up, exited the garage door, ran around the front because she heard a second gunshot. She wanted to check on her roommate. When she went in to the front, Richard was coming out the front door. There was a second confrontation, and she finally just threw her hands in the air and said, "Don't shoot me again. You've already shot me once. Why are you going to shoot me again?" He put the gun down by his side and walked away. He didn't run. And that was the first time, you know, Morneau had taught me what I'd learned from him is you stick a gun in somebody's face, normally it's not to shoot them, it's to see the fear in their eyes, to see the fear in their face. That is foreplay for sex for them. And so he had an opportunity to kill the only surviving witness, and he didn't. But she wasn't afraid the second time.
Yeah.
The first time she was. And then 40 minutes later, he drug a lady out of a car and killed her.
Yeah.
So it was different from the first night.
You bet. Okay, we're going to hold you right there. We've got to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with our special guest, Gil Carrillo, right after this message.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. And here we're back with We'll See About That, special guest Gil Carrillo, one of the lead detectives in the Night Stalker that you can see on Netflix, and we're very pleased to have him here. Gil, this murder that you're tracking, you had jurisdiction problems with some of the precincts wanting to take the case and also wanting to solve the case, so you didn't share a lot of information that was out there. What kind of an obstacle when you're dealing with lives does this kind of create for you? It seems like it's a real nightmare when you're not sharing the information.
Well, it is, and all it does is create anger because it's the agencies. The way Los Angeles County is set up, they have unincorporated areas, which is the sheriff's department is in charge of all unincorporated cities. Then you have incorporated cities that have their own law enforcement agencies, and those smaller cities that do, some of them contract through the sheriff's department for homicide work, some of them don't. And some cities that don't were afraid. A smaller city, I'll give you two different examples. City of Arcadia, they have their own police department, but they contract through the sheriff's department to investigate their murders. They are nothing but cooperative. Everything is open. They share information. Everything is good. Monterey Park has their own police department. They have their own homicide investigators. And so when something happened in Monterey Park, they're afraid Big Brother, they wanted, their chief wanted their own city to solve it. So they would hold on to information and they weren't sharing information. And it behooves us to share all the information we have. So if they needed information, they got it. Because all we're all trying to do in the bottom line is solve the case. So it made it difficult when the smaller agencies that had information didn't want to share with us because they were afraid Big Brother had come in and take over.
Understood. When I watched the documentary, so to speak, on Netflix, it was so bizarre in that there didn't seem to be any way that you could possibly profile this person. I mean, you look at the victims, and they kind of show this as you're, you know, scanning the this part where they were going through the people who were the victims of the murders, and there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. Why not? The child molestation stuff didn't seem to get a lot of attention in this. And I know that, you know, young, old, black, white, women, men with different, he would go into the house and he would stay there and feast on the refrigerator. He was taking hammers and things from the garage to kill these people. It just seems so bizarre. And so no rhyme or reason for any of it. I can't put it together. And you got to
interview this guy. It was tough. That's what made the case so difficult, because it was only consistency. Was his inconsistency.
Right.
And it was impossible to profile, since nobody in criminal history had ever been documented doing what he was doing.
Do you think that he was doing that intentionally, mixing up his modus operandi to throw you guys off the trail, or do you think he was just an insane person, or both for that matter?
Oh, I have no idea. You know, he asked me personally, why do you think I am the way I am? And my response was, Rich, if I knew that answer, I'd be a doctor making a lot more money than I am as a cop. My job is just to find you, track you, and get you to prosecution.
Well, you know, near the end of the movie, I think it started to talk about his childhood. And it said he never felt like he fit in. And he was being treated horribly by his family. His father used to tie him to a cross consistently as punishment.
His dad would beat him with a hose.
Yeah. And he had an uncle who killed his wife in front of him.
Yes.
You know, just horror stories. It seemed like he was just poisoned for life. Is that fair to say?
I don't, you know, all these guys have had some kind of trouble when they were kids. He had choices he had to make. He could have been, he had a sister that was we want to say normal. He had a sister that was normal. He had a bad background, but he had a couple of brothers that were just weren't killers. They were just crooks. He just got into dope. Dope got the best of him, and then he went wild. He got into satanic worship because of the cocaine use.
Right. He had a heroin addiction, too, I was told.
And there's plenty of people with trauma, you know, that don't commit multiple murders.
Of course.
Gil, so, you know, you started out, you know, early in March, like you said, we had all these cases out here in the San Gabriel Valley. When did you put it together? Because I think you were the first one to really put it together that we had a serial offender out there. When did you put that together, and what was your reactions then?
Well, I got the first murder March 17th, and I wrote a search warrant. I think my search warrant was dated April 10th, where I had connected three murders and some child abductions. Had a meeting at a Monterey Park and sent the meeting. Everybody there had had child abductions. There was Pico Rivera was there, Montebello, Monterey Park, and LAPD. They had child abductions. I went there. Not only did I have attempted child abductions that I was talking about, but I had murders, and I had spoken with them about how I felt they were all linked together and why, with what circumstantial evidence I had. We then submitted our paperwork. There was a member from the FBI that was there. He used to take all of our paperwork and submit it for profiling back at Behavioral Science in Quantico, Virginia. We found out in July that he submitted everybody's paperwork except for mine because he didn't believe that mine was related. He thought I was full of hot air.
Wow.
And then they sent four investigators the following day out here physically to see what they could do. But it was that's how early I had detected something.
You know, you were the media coverage, the fact that you had your names in the paper, your wife decides that there's an incident that's a little too close to home, and she says she needs to leave and get away from this. She felt threatened. That must have weighed heavily on you, too.
Well, it did. She wasn't spending much time here anyway because I wasn't home much.
Right.
But that particular morning, it was August the 8th, when I was getting ready to go, she said, "Where are you going this time?" And I told her I was Diamond Bar, which is right next to where I live. And that's when she said, "Okay, that's it. I'm out of here. And I'm not coming back until this thing's over with." And my 13-year-old daughter stuck her head. She had heard her and I talk and said, "Should I wake up brother and sister?" She said, "Yes, wake them up. And they don't have to get dressed. Just don't put sweaters on. Let's go." And she didn't even get suitcases out. She just got bags. Called her the bag lady, and she took the kids. She said, "You're not leaving till I'm gone." And so we both left at the same time, separate cars. And she didn't come back until the day after his arrest, the day of his arrest.
Did you personally feel threatened, or did Frank feel threatened by this because you had been exposed?
No. Neither one of us felt threatened. But what we did... when I watched the documentary the night that it dropped, after it was over, the first thing I did was I apologized. I begged my wife for forgiveness because I'm being the man of the house, and I'm sitting there saying, "Okay, in the beginning, here's your job. You got the house and the kids, and I got this killer." And I was working. The captain was quoted in the paper saying 16, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I was never home. And so... just got used to it, took it, that's what was going on. I didn't realize until I saw a documentary how much fear and pressure she was really under by herself.
The stress that you had, did you ever feel overwhelmed at points?
I remember telling my partner on the 21st of September after his arrest, we were going to a dinner. And I remember telling my partner, "You know, the realities are you'd have had me for about two more weeks before I'd have blown up." I could see that I was under stress, but my temper, I'm normally a happy-go-lucky guy about everything, and my temper was getting shorter and shorter. It was really tough.
The footage, the documentary on Netflix, which is just tremendous, by the way. I mean, you know, there's a lot of footage of you before the case started. You're always smiling, very happy-go-lucky. And you can see, you know, just through the press photos and through the archival footage, how much it weighed on you guys going through. What was the tipping point, though, when, you know, we had, you know, there's so much to talk about here. We only have so much time to talk about it. Is that, you know, there's all, you know, Dianne Feinstein kind of blew it, you know, releasing information to the public. He changed his operations, modus operandi. What was the tipping point when you're like, we're on to this guy now?
When we finally, you know, it's like five guys trying to put together a retirement dinner, and you have five different opinions. And until you all come up with the same opinion, it's really hard to put it together. Well, when Frank was fully on board with the serial killer aspect of it, and he had the big name, and everybody respected him in the Bureau, once he got it and told the captain, this is definitely a serial killer, and we had a big task force going for it now, that's when we could see things were moving, because then we could get anything we wanted, manpower, logistically, anything we had to do or needed was ours. And that's when we knew we were going to get him.
He was referred to in the media as the walk-in killer, the valley intruder. One of the bigger networks eventually it got stuck on the Night Stalker.
Yeah, one of the Herald Examiner.
Yeah, the old Herald Examiner. Yeah, for sure. Listen, we want to get into a lot more about the footprint, the shoe, the dental records, some of the media coverage, the murder warrant issue, all kinds of things in this last segment. So I hope that you fans are people are enjoying this interview. It's incredibly interesting and one of the most important jobs that Gil had in his career, did an unbelievable job of bringing this guy in. So we're going to be back right after this with another segment with Gil Carrillo. Thanks for joining us.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids to work to friends and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number.
It's the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing ends Monday. See store for details.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. 800-433-0539. That's 800-433-0539. Paid for by Fix My Student Loans.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say.
It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, Sandy Koufax strikes out 16 Phillies and Jim Bunning whiffs 12 Dodgers in the first 11 innings of a pitching duel between Hall of Famers at Chavez Ravine. With both starters out of the game, our lovely Dodgers beat Philadelphia 2-1 thanks to an unearned run scored in the bottom of the 12th inning. This week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial.
Lots of pitching and very little bats back in that era. A lot of low scoring games, and another gem from Sandy Koufax. Gil, when you started coming a little bit closer, a lot of clues started falling in place. You had the shoe, you had a bracelet, you had the pentagram that got exposed through a media release by mistake. They were actually hampering your investigation, incredibly. Tell us about how that led to you eventually identified, I think, eight different Richard Ramirez's?
Yeah, we identified eight different Ramirez's. They came up down in, when he hit down south in Orange County, he left a fingerprint on a car that was recovered. He left a thumbprint. And that time, fingerprints weren't automated. Only felons, convicted felons, were automated. And misdemeanors weren't. At the same time, simultaneously up in San Francisco, they found a gentleman up there that was a friend of Richard by the name of Armando, and they got a last name from Armando that Richard's last name was Ramirez. We had them check, hand search every Richard Ramirez, and we found eight of them, one of which was our guy. We were told that he had been arrested the year before on a grand theft auto, which he only got a conviction of a misdemeanor on. So they pulled his picture. We showed his picture to our informant, and our informant says, that's him. And that matched everything, and that's what led to his identification.
And you also had some dental records that you had pretty much, you were going to corral this guy. You were going to have him, he was going to come back, right? And then somehow that alarm didn't go off that was set up. And
he left a dental card with the name of Richard Minna to a Chinatown dentist right there in Chinatown. And so we went to the dentist, and the dentist said he had come in there, he's a cash paying guy, got some x-rays from that dentist, took him over to a dental friend of mine. And that dentist, my friend, says he's got to come back. He's got an impacted tooth and it's really bad. He'll be back, he won't be able to take the pain. So we stuck two undercover cops inside the Chinese dental office, which was open 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and they made a lot of overtime money, and Richard didn't show up. So an executive from my department said, that's LAPD's area, get LAPD to put one of their silent alarms in there because this guy may never come back. So they had him put a silent alarm in there. The first day they put the silent alarm in there, Richard showed up. I got a phone call from the dentist that night in his broken English trying to tell me that he had hit the button. Nobody ever came, nobody ever showed up. And come to find out, it was an inoperable alarm.
Oh my.
Some kind of malfunction with the alarm. So Richard had gone in, got his impacted tooth taken care of, and got out, and we had nobody there. Of course, with the wisdom that executives have sometimes, they said, better put the guys back in there and have them sit down again, wait, see if he comes back. Just a waste of time by that time.
So he slips away. And how many more incidences happened after that, would you say?
There was probably about four more incidents after we lost that car before he was actually caught. The thing about the shoes, we lost the shoes because of what Feinstein went and did, and right. we had followed that particular shoe. I can still remember today without equivocation, on January 9, 1985, 1,356 pair of Model 440 Avias entered New York from Taiwan. And for distribution throughout the U.S., of which six pair ended up in the state of California, one pair ended up in L.A., and that was a pair of shoes that he got. He was wearing them, and once Mayor Feinstein did her press conference, those shoes and a gun went over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, the 25 automatic. So you guys, and then you guys have the sketch. And like you mentioned about the dentist, one of his most identifiable features was his really, really bad teeth. You get the sketch. What was the discussion like about releasing that sketch to the public?
Well, the sketch we kept putting out. We put out probably about three or four different sketches that different victims did. And none of them came close. As a matter of fact, one of the sketches came back, thought it was, I forget the guy's first name, used to play with you, Ron Duncan. You guys were up in San Francisco. Mariano Duncan. Somebody called in and said it was Mariano Duncan, because when he hit up in San Francisco, you guys were there, and sketch looked like Mariano.
Oh, Jesus.
And so it was funny. Ironically, the day before his arrest, we had a sketch artist go back out to one of our victims, and he was going to do some jewelry that was missing. So he drew the jewelry, and that particular victim started telling him, she says, you know, you're so very nice, you're very calm, you're very slow. The guy that came out here before, I won't mention their agency, but he was out there. Every time she said, well, that doesn't look like him, you need to make his nose different. And he just kept on taking deep breaths and sighing, like if he had a date that he had to go to, and she was holding him up. And so finally said, okay, that's good. And they put that out. Well, our artist did one the day before his arrest, and he brought it into the office so we could look at it. And that was the same day we got it, the same day that his picture was released. We got a photo of him, and it looked like Richard had posed for the staff artist. It was that close, but that one never went public. That was the day before his arrest.
So you got a lot of help from the community.
Sure did.
And take us through that.
We had thousands of clues calling in. Our phones lit up, the boards lit up. After every news outlet would go out, the 4 o'clock news, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And we had a team of individuals that were doing nothing more than answering phones and filling out clue sheets. Part of the task force, we then had investigators assigned. We'd give them clue sheets every morning, go out and follow up this clue. And that's what they did. It was almost comical. You had to find humor in some of this stuff. There was an old-time homicide cop, looked like an old Marine DI, looked like Jack Webb from Dragnet. And I caught him one day, and he is cussing his heart out. And I asked him, Willie, what's wrong, Willie? Come on, it can't be that bad. And he says, I've been working murders for 27 years. I've been on this department so damn long. And here I am. They've lowered me down to a clue clown. And he says, get this clue. And he starts reading us the clue, and it sounded just like him. He says, the only problem was the guy was a midget.
And yeah, I remember that one.
We just couldn't stop laughing. There was so much came through, but that's what we did. We handed them all out, and then our department thought enough. Fortunately, we encouraged them, our people to work the phones, to call back every person that called in to tell them thank you for assisting us in trying to capture the Night Stalker.
And so I think the most famous public involvement would be after his identity is revealed to the media, he takes a very fateful bus ride. How did you feel seeing that news when he was in the back of that police car after receiving some street justice from those guys out in East LA?
I didn't really care about what happened to him. After we got all the work we put in, I was just... I'm just grateful he was in custody. Don't care. I'm used to bad guys saying things that they shouldn't and acting bravado, and I really didn't care. The whole case really didn't impact me till the first guilty verdict came back when he was convicted, and I just started crying because then it made it all worth it. And I wish at that time my dad would have been with me, but he wasn't. He was with me in spirit,
right?
But he wasn't there physically, and all the emotion caught up with me that day.
Yeah, there was some disturbing things as well when he had a women fan base. There was a lot of sex appeal, it seemed like. I don't know who these people would be, but there were, according to the documentary. It must have given these people a great deal of pleasure to be able to help in this chase and rundown of Ramirez, because it seems like you got a lot of people who were cheering, you know, when this took place, and actually they wanted to take him out himself. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, well, happened? The people that actually ended up catching him, they really didn't know initially who it was, and they really didn't hurt him. If it had been the bad people from East LA, they'd have killed him. Mm-hmm. They didn't. These were good people that caught him. They detained him, and he was tired. He'd been running over the 5 freeway sound walls, over hill, over dale, across backyard fences. He'd been on sprint for 2 miles when he got hit over the head by the husband of one of the car he was trying to carjack. And so he had essentially given up, and he goes to jail. And there was nothing to him. And all the time that I spoke with him, he was nothing more. You know, people ask, was he afraid? Were you afraid because he was into Satanism? Was he evil? Was he zip? He was nothing more than human. You get him isolated all by himself, that's all he is. He's just a regular guy, and I spoke with him no different. He called me Gil, and I called him Rich. And he did call my partner Mr. Salerno, because Richard was well-read, and he knew that Salerno had worked on the Hillside Strangler, and he was awestruck because that's a big guy. That's a big name.
Yeah, well, he got some status, too, because you put him in the celebrity cell, too, right? You put him in the Bundy
cell. The same cell that Angelo Bono was in, and he was excited about that.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's an incredible story. Amazing. Well done. Terrific job. That's the highlight of your career, is being able to finally get this thing under your belt and bring peace to Southern California and the rest of California.
Well, thank you. I've got a quick story. You mentioned the Herald Examiner right now.
Yeah.
And you talk about the highlight of this case. I was working murders, and when they won the World Series up in Oakland, and the Herald Examiner had a son, Bud Ferrillo worked for the Times. His son Andy Ferrillo worked for the Examiner. Andy Ferrillo knew that I was a season ticket holder over at Dodger Stadium. He got me by phone, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I just come in from a murder. Turn the tube on, man. This is the only ticket in town. I'm watching the Dodger game." And so we watched Dodger game, and he said, "What'd you think?" I said, "Oh, man." At that time, Mickey Hatcher was my hero. He was the leader of the stuntmen.
Right.
He was just a grinder. Uh-huh. So opening day, following season, they take me down to Dodger Stadium, and they let me go down into the dugout, and I got to meet Mickey Hatcher, Walt Olson, Tommy Lasorda, and a bunch of the other guys. It was I was awestruck. I was more nervous that day than any other day in my life, in my career. And it was all that just highlighted the Night Stalker case, because I got to go down there and do this with him.
Well, that's well deserved, Gil. An amazing feat. We need more people like you out there doing their stuff, and we're certainly thrilled that we've been able to have you on the show. You're a busy man. You've lectured on this subject matter to give us more of an indication of who these people might be. But thank you so much for your work on this, Gil. It's been a pleasure having you, and continued success in your endeavors.
Thank you very much. It was my honor and pleasure to be on here, and especially one of the Dodgers. I'm a big-time Dodger fan. I'm just as excited with you today, Ron, as I go to games.
Thanks so much, Joe. Thanks very much. Thank you.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pain. pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
And we are back. Thank you so much once again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed that conversation we had with Gil Carrillo. It was an amazing thing to experience, you know, growing up through that case and actually getting to meet the man who helped take the Night Stalker off these streets, keep these streets safe. That was just a really almost a highlight of my career. So thank you so much once again to Gil Carrillo for that. And we really appreciate you guys are listening. This is We'll See About That. Mike Gary filling in once again for Ron Say on a much needed vacation. And just real fast, what makes a great summertime read? Also a wintertime read. In fact, year round, it's great. Check out Ron Say's fantastic book, Penguin Power. It's available wherever fine books are sold, including Amazon.com. It's got all sorts of great stories about Ron's great career. I don't know, maybe if he talks about the song we just heard from him, his musical career, but it's a fantastic book. Make sure to check it out. Penguin Power, available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and on iTunes. Order it. Makes a fantastic gift. And just going back to the Gil Carrillo interview we just did, everybody's got a story about Rich Ramirez and the Night Stalker. My brief story is that if you watch the documentary, you're familiar with the case, there is a young man who he was one of the guys that actually found the license plate number that really led to the breaking of the case. It was a young man who was working on his motorbike in his garage out here. I don't want to mention the name of the town, but it's out here in some kind of central east Los Angeles. His next door neighbor of that child was my best friend from high school's cousin. Jennifer Horn has some great stories about that. It's just a very interesting issue. It's touched everybody who lived in Los Angeles during the time. And it was just fantastic to have Gil Carrillo on the show. And once again, make sure to check out the Night Stalker series on Netflix. It gives you the whole story and features amazing interviews with Gil as well. Talks about his experience working that case, also his very interesting career overall. It's a very interesting thing. So once again, thank you so much for joining us here. We'll have one more Best Of coming next week. And after that, we look forward to the glorious return of Ron Say on this high-quality broadcast. Once again, you can check us out on Spotify. We'll see about that, or anywhere you find your podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review. It really helps us and helps this show grow. And we'll see you guys next week, and we'll see about that, folks. Take care.